Hello, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 13, Number 10. In the last edition of Clinical Review, I posed this question. Is the population of the world slowly becoming less intelligent? Well, our brains are certainly getting smaller. Over the past 20,000 years, the average volume of the human brain has decreased by 10%. Current research suggests human intelligence is on the decline. Our IQ is declining, and there is an explanation. Toxic chemicals, such as pesticides and radiation from a wide variety of sources in the environment, are reducing intelligence. Originally, we consumed a balanced nutrition ratio of one omega-6 fatty acid to one omega-3 fatty acid. Today, our intake of fatty acids are completely dominated by omega-6, and most of these fats are damaged, rancid, and mutated by heat, light, and oxygen. We lack exposure to beneficial healthy bacteria, and of course exercise boosts intelligence, but less than 2% of modern domesticated human adults get enough of it. What a docile, sedentary race of men we've become. Stress is dumbing us down to the floor. Another factor is the toll that baby making has on the female body, especially when they are malnourished and stressed out. This has a negative effect on the intelligence of our offspring. And finally, in the field of biology and genetics, we know this global reduction in human intelligence happening all around us began at about the same time that genetic selection became more relaxed. Now, what's genetic selection? This is something that you have to study genetics to really find out about. This reduction in genetic selection, choosing mates and pair bonding and such, this occurred as our ancestors began to live in more supportive high-density societies, namely large cities with access to a steady supply of food. But easier access also means less labor and less physical activity. And unfortunately today, this also includes ample access to huge varieties of toxic, refined factory food. So there you have it. We're not getting smarter. We're losing it, people. And it's all relative to environment and our behavior and what you put in your mouth and whether you move or not. It's that simple. So as an individual, you can remove yourself from being one of these statistics. And of course, statistics are based on averages and means. And so there are people at the top and the bottom. Let's fight for health and be on top. On this edition of Clinical Review, my topic is something from nothing. In a universe from nothing, why there is something rather than nothing, theoretical physicist and cosmologist Lawrence M. Krauss reveals that nothing is not nothing. Nothing is something, and this he explains with compelling evidence in the language of particle physics, quantum mechanics, and scientific observation, is how the cosmos came into being. Read or listen to the book or watch his lecture on YouTube. Either way, it might change your perspective on life and how you interpret your own origin. Personally, I love thinking I came from nothing because that's exactly where I'm headed. But guess what? Nothing is something. The statement defies our inherent sense of intuition, but today we must accept that almost everything that is real about our universe is impossible to detect or interpret using our limited perceptual senses. Take light, for example. Light is a form of radiant energy, typically defined as electromagnetic radiation visible to the human eye. The visible region perceived as light is responsible for our sense of sight. For most of history, visible light was the only known part of the electromagnetic spectrum. But the entire spectrum, possible to detect only with imaging sensor technology, consists of a wide range of electromagnetic radiation frequencies, including radio waves, microwaves, gamma rays, X-rays, ultraviolet, infrared, terahertz, and visible radiation. So there is a much larger spectrum of light than we ever imagined. So much for believing only in what we can see, or for that matter, in anything without evidence. But here are the facts. Humans literally reconstruct a model of perceived reality in the posterior region of the brain called the visual cortex. Seeing begins when the lens of the eye focuses an external image on the photoreceptive cells of the retina. Photons of light are detected, neural impulses are produced, and a signal is sent to the visual cortex in the brain to be processed. When you look at anything, what you actually see is an image from the past. We exist in the present, but we can only see in the past because light travels at 299,792,458 meters per second, and therefore takes time to move between objects. Without light, we're all blind. We can only see what was, not actually what is, and to see at all, we need light. On the island of Maui with a small group of friends, I trekked up the slopes of Haleakala, a massive shield volcano 10,000 feet high, inside the huge 24,000-acre crater at the top, lie dozens of ancient lava tubes that descend for miles beneath the surface. Protected with hard hats and armed with flashlights, we began our descent down one of these tubes for about 1 kilometer until reaching our destination, a large hollow cavern formed from expanding molten rock millions of years ago. Each of us found a ledge to lean on, and then, as agreed in advance, we turned off our lights and ceased all conversation. Never before had I experienced such profound darkness or the sound of such great silence. Yes, silence. Dead silence is eerie and it has a sound. It's really bizarre and it's hard to describe. Finally, someone spoke after, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes. It seemed like a lifetime. But in the absence of light, you can't detect their presence by sight. So you hear a voice, but you can't see where they are. And hearing someone's voice without a visual fix is very strange. It's kind of creepy. Especially when you're in an environment like that, you know, like you're like a mile below the surface inside a volcano. It's very freaky and it's very cool. But I want to talk about the existence of something real that, like the universe, can come from nothing. Actually, it comes from the habit of doing nothing, something we humans are exceptionally good at. The nothing, in the context of this article, refers to the absence of movement, exercise, and physical activity plainly evident in the vast majority of the population, especially adults. In spite of media hype and a vast number of recreational centers, gyms, and fitness clubs, less than 2% of Canadian adults exercise routinely as a way of life, day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. So most people start and stop. Most people start, they never go back. Most people have a membership card in their pocket, but they never use it. That's the reality. The something that comes from the direct result of doing nothing is empirically obvious. Take a look. Chronic widespread disease, premature degeneration, mental depression, obesity, heart disease, cancer, and, well, you get my drift, all manner of physical decay and morbidity. Sitting is the new smoking. Physical activity is the bane of modern life. We hate it and will do anything to avoid it. Anything except move, of course. And anything is more important than moving. First world humans, that's us, have become experts at doing nothing, and we even pride ourselves on it. Work that involves the slightest degree of physical exertion is viewed with disdain. Walking a block is a waste of time. Wouldn't it be great if just lying around doing nothing created optimum health and vibrant wellness? Imagine a world of people existing in stasis using only our brains. But real life, the real world, isn't like that. Although observation of the conventionally minded masses would suggest we think otherwise. Humans evolved with the need to move, and like it or not, that essential biological need is still firmly established in the language of our genetic code. Physical activity was essential to our ability to hunt and gather, build shelter, defend ourselves, and even procreate. In simple terms, if we didn't move, we died. We couldn't survive. We had to move to get our food, to move away from our enemies, to find what we needed to live. But sadly, and to our national detriment, all of that has now changed. It's a new world. Today we're breaking all the rules, and the penalty is revealed by the law of cause and effect. Our present state of health is the effect. Blatant disregard for physical activity and exercise is the cause. Amidst all the fancy automobiles, beautiful homes, and jet airplanes, we've created a literal sea of infection, chronic pain, and human suffering, all hidden from view behind the latest fashions of silk, linen, and synthetics. Come on, do you really think you can hide from reality? In our culture of self-deception, decadence, and pleasure-seeking madness, what lies behind the mantle is irrelevant. Until, of course, nature reminds you of your mortality and of her true power. Yes, she will get right in your face. Nature plays no favorites, and if you disobey her, she makes you pay for it. If you don't pay me now, she says, I'll make you pay me later tenfold. But pay you must. Think of that each time you actually go to the gym. You're actually paying a toll charge to get across the bridge of life in one piece. Life is a sport, and like any sport, it has rules. One of the rules of life that goes beyond food, air, and water is physical movement. Man is designed to move, and he doesn't make the rules. Nature does. We are not the architects. Modern society has convinced itself that because virtually no one has to physically work any longer to get their bread and water, the physical work once required to achieve that end is now obsolete and worthless. But nothing could be farther from the truth. We created a biological gap with our machines and technology, and it's killing us. But Corey, you say, we're living longer than ever. The life expectancy in Canada is 81, compared to the Neolithic average of 20. I agree. But once again, I invite you to take a good look around. Examine the statistics. Visit some urban hospitals. Look around at the people who are living so-called longer. Talk to them, but get past their persona of false perfection. Google the acronym for FINE, F-I-N-E, and see what it really means. Soon you'll discover how very few of us actually enjoy excellent, robust, functional health inward and out. Like zoo animals kept in cages, we do live longer. But are we living better? What appears to be something wonderful on the surface is actually quite different underneath. Behind the fake smiles, colorful makeup, and fancy suits lurks what we dare not mention. Multiple surgeries, chronic inflammation, sagging skin, drooping body parts, brittle bones, muscle weakness, chronic fatigue, infertility, incontinence, insomnia, headaches, damaged organs, waistlines, bulging through seams, and the secret need for an almost infinite number of medications. All evidence of something from nothing. If you want to live long and stay well in this century, today, 2014, physical exercise is not an option. Get with nature's program. Learn about blue zones, telomere chemistry, and life extension strategies. It's much better to be a biological conduit than a stagnant pool. A stagnant pool is a breeding ground for disease. Sedentary living adds to our burden of stress. It actually causes morbidity and substantially increases all-cause mortality risk. Prolonged inactivity destroys the immune system, robs the body of vital capacity, and greatly reduces human motivation. But when you fight the urge to do nothing and physically move your body, something wonderful happens. The nothing changes into controlled, intelligent movement and a spectacular new universe of health and wellness is created. And guess what, my friends? That new universe is you, your life. So get with the program. Understand what's possible. Reach out. Human progress is the name of the game. Let's see some progress in your own life. Stay well, live well, and the reward of health is inherent in being well. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's a quote from Lawrence Krauss, American theoretical physicist and cosmologist. Our modern conception of the universe is so foreign to what even scientists generally believed a mere century ago that it is a tribute to the power of the scientific method and the creativity and persistence of humans who want to understand it.